I'm sure that you have heard the old saying, ignorance is bliss. I don't necessarily like that saying. I believe that many within the church have bought into the philosophy when it comes to serving within the church. Sometimes they feel they don't know how to serve, they don't know what to do in order to serve, they don't know what their gift may be and how they should serve, and so they kind of operate under the mindset, well, ignorance is bliss. So they don't really feel they need to serve. That's why I believe the study of spiritual gifts equips us through a proper biblical understanding to better serve the Lord Jesus Christ and His body, the church. So we are in the midst of our series on spiritual gifts. This evening we want to begin to give you a detailed description of the various gifts of the Spirit that were listed for us in Romans chapter 12. You'll be reminded that there are three categories overall of these gifts that we talked about. There are the gifts of the Spirit that have been given for today to help us to build the body of Christ. We have the administrations of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those are those people that are gifted ministers in certain aspects to help the church. And then there were the workings of God, those special gifts given in the early part of the local church to help validify this newfound faith. We're going to be studying in detail those gifts of the Spirit that I believe each and every Christian is given in order to use and serve the body of Christ. Tonight I want to consider and center our thoughts on the gift of prophecy. We'll try in the weeks to come to pick up and look at a couple each week so we don't drag this out too long. But tonight I think there's good need for emphasis on this gift, the gift of prophecy. Before we consider that together tonight, let's go ahead and bow and ask the Lord's blessing as we come to Him in prayer. Father, we ask and pray that You would help us now as we come to study the Word of God and the gift of prophecy, that You would help us to understand the gift. Lord, not all here tonight will have the gift of prophecy. Lord, not all will be asked to serve in that way. But Lord, there are some who've been given the gift of prophecy, and we're asked to serve with that gift. Now, Lord, those of us who have or don't have that gift still need to understand the gift, that we might appreciate the gift as it's been given to the body, that it might edify and build up the body of Christ, that we could work together in unity of mind and spirit and heart to go forth and accomplish the commission given to us of sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask and pray that You give understanding and wisdom tonight as we come and study Your word. We thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. If you were to go back to Romans chapter 12, and you will look at verse 6, we're going to find the very first of these spiritual gifts given to the local church. We're told in verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every one that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. There is a gift in this day and age of prophecy. We need to understand this gift because I believe in many ways it's an important gift for the day and age in which we live. I'll remind you, as you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul has begun this whole discussion on spiritual gifts in chapter 12. He began to lay the groundwork for us, and then he comes and tells us in chapter 13, as we discussed last week, the motivation for the use of our gifts, and that is love. If a man can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but has not charity, he's as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If he gives his body to be burned and has not charity, it profits him nothing. If he gives all of his wealth to feed the poor and has no charity, it's nothing. Charity, love, is the motivation for our service. We serve not for our benefit, but we serve using our gifts for the benefit of the body of Christ. Paul was teaching that to the church of Corinth because there was a problem. Excuse me, there was a struggle. They all desired one gift. The gift that they all desired was the gift of tongues. So Paul now in chapter 14 is going to begin to set things in order to help the church understand the importance of the gifts. And he begins in chapter 14 and verse 1 with the gift of prophecy. And it's important that we understand this gift. So as we begin tonight, we're going to define or give a definition of the gift of prophecy. In our synopsis of the different gifts, we define the gift of prophecy as the motivation to proclaim verbally the full message of God as revealed in the Scriptures, and to promote the message to man so that it may be properly demonstrated in the lives of all believers. I want you to see some other definitions that have been given for this gift of prophecy. Daniel Borscher says, the ability to recognize sinful behavior and a driving compulsion to confront individuals, groups, and or cultures. In the Spiritual Gift Analysis book, this definition is given. The ability to communicate God's word with power, conviction, and clarity, and to apply it to the specific situation of the hearers. God has given to some a gift, and that gift is prophecy. That gift of prophecy is a desire for that individual to proclaim the full message of God. They have a desire to share the truth of God's word to other people, so that those people would be able to take that message of the gospel, that message of the Bible, and apply it to their lives and avoid the pitfalls and snares that are there to entrap them. The prophet is one that is concerned with integrity for God's message. And he has been given an ability to discern clearly right from wrong. Often people talk about the gift of prophecy as someone that sees things in black and white. We hear a lot in our day and age about gray areas. You ever had that discussion with someone? You come up with something and you're discussing something and you say, you know what, I believe the Bible says that this is how we're supposed to live. And I believe there just is no other way to look at it. We just can't be involved in this activity. We should be involved in this activity. And their response to you is something like this. Well, I know that's how you see it, but to me, that's a gray area. That could go either way. You might say it's right. I might say it's wrong. You might say it's wrong, but I might say it's okay. Good people tend to disagree. Gray area. You know, in a prophet's life, they don't see a lot in gray. You know why a prophet doesn't see a lot in gray? Because gray is made up of black and white. You have to mix the two in order to get gray. And for a prophet, he sees things very clearly, right and wrong. It's either black or it's white. When you mix it, gray is just another color of black. So in their mind, they have an ability to discern right and wrong. So they tend not to be so caught up in the gray areas of life. They tend to see things more in the black and white. They have that ability to discern right from wrong, and therefore the prophet is willing to speak boldly the truth in love by faith. That's going to be important for us to see, and you're going to see that in a minute. They speak boldly the truth in love by faith so that men might be freed from the bondage of sin. To someone with the gift of prophecy, they have a burden. They have a burden to share what the Bible says so that men are no longer enslaved by sin. Would you agree with me that we have many people, saved and unsaved, in our world today, under the slavery and bondage of sin? I think that's a fair assessment. The world of the lost truly is enslaved in sin. Yet Paul would have to write, would he not, in Romans chapter 6, to no longer yield yourselves instruments of unrighteousness? Why would he have to write that message? Because there were many still yielding to sin. They were still under the influence of sin. To the prophet who comes to the word of God and he sees right and wrong, he wants to take that message that he sees and he wants to proclaim it. Why? So that men can be free. Wasn't that the duty and unction of the prophet of the Old Testament? When you consider the prophets of the Old Testament, what was their duty and responsibility? Their duty and responsibility, was it not, to take the message of God so that the people of God might respond to the message and avoid the impending judgments? They didn't want them to be under the bondage. They didn't want sin to have the effect. And God would say, here's the message for them. This is what I want for my people. And the prophet is one that's willing to proclaim that message boldly, in love, but by faith, so that folks are no longer in bondage to sin. Again, they want to verbally proclaim the full message of God, as revealed in the scripture, to promote that message so that man can be freed from sin. The second thing I want you to see with me tonight is the delineation of the gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is again seeking to set in order the truth of spiritual gifts. As he does, he sets forth the priority of the gifts. If you look down to verse 12, you'll see what Paul says about the church of Corinth. He said, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." We shared with you in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul would write and say that they lacked nothing when it came to spiritual gifts. They were a people filled with gifted individuals. The problem again with the church was they all desired spiritual gifts, but they weren't necessarily desiring the gifts that would edify the body of Christ. They especially desired, again, the gift of tongues. But if you look down at verse 1, Paul is going to encourage them not to desire the gift of tongues, but instead prophecy. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. There were many who desired the wonders and the energies and the workings and those sign gifts, but Paul said, instead we should desire prophecy. You know, it's interesting to note that in all the lists that Paul gives concerning spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy is the only constant. It's the only one listed in all the gifts and all the different lists. He gives some various lists and different meanings, but the gift of prophecy is always there. And it's always listed first. By the way, I don't think God makes a mistake when he puts things in order. I think he puts them in order for a reason. And Paul writes and says, desire the gift of prophecy. As we seek to delineate this gift of prophecy, I want you to consider just a couple of questions with me that will help us to understand the gift a little more. Number one, why is this gift to be desired in the church? Why would Paul say, be desirous of the gift of prophecy? Well, Paul answers that clearly in chapter 14. God gave us the gift of prophecy in the church really for three reasons that are listed for us, and they're found in verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Why should we desire the gift of prophecy? Why should we desire within the church that there be people with that gift? Because the gift of prophecy was given that the church might be edified, that the church might be exhorted, and that the church might be comforted. There are still many churches today, some right here in our own community, that what they are desirous of is not a prophetic word from God, not a message that edifies, not a message that exhorts, not a message that comforts, but a message that shows signs and wonders. There are many charismatic friends, those who proclaim the good news of the gospel, but I think they're wrong when it comes to the use of the sign gifts and that they still exist today. Paul is going to say that we as a church ought to desire, above all else, prophecy. Because the gift of prophecy was given for edification. Number one, edification there on your list. The Greek word is okadoime, and is used to speak of building of a house or the building of a temple. In the context of Scripture, that word is used to signify the building or the strengthening of the church. God gives to the church the gift of prophecy that the church might be built up, that the church might be strengthened, that it might be edified. If you were building a home, would you not want a skilled contractor that knew how to build your home to be building it? You know who you wouldn't want? Me. I noticed that none of you called me up and asked me to come help you with renovations. You would call someone like Scott Mercer or Rick Matthews. They actually know what they are doing. I would call them to do some work for me. I wouldn't do my own work. Why? Because I don't know that. It's not my trade. I want someone who knows how to build. Well, God gives to the church the prophet so that the church might be built up, that the church might be edified. But secondly, it's given for exhortation. The word here is paraklesis, which means to come alongside of. The word is used in connection with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, who is our paraclete or comforter. The Lord Jesus promised that he was going to go, but when he would go, he would send another comforter, another paraclete. The purpose of exhortation has a wide range of applications. It has the range from encouragement to admonishment. When you exhort someone, at times you are doing so that they might be encouraged. At other times, it is because they must be admonished. Paul would write and say to Timothy, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. All of those things are used to build or help the body of Christ. Sometimes we have to come alongside and point out error. Sometimes we come alongside and we put our arm around just to simply encourage or help someone along. That is exhortation as it is here recorded for us. It's also for comfort. The word comfort here is similar to the word exhortation. However, the main understanding of this word is encouragement, comfort, or consolation. Question for you real quickly tonight. When someone stands and proclaims the word of God, do you find that to be edifying, exhorting, and comforting? When someone is willing to stand up and call sin, sin, and call right, right, and wrong, wrong, and say yea is yea and nay is nay, should we not find that to be edifying? Is that not to our exhortation? Is that not for our comfort? That there is someone that will stand and proclaim God's word so that we can be freed from sin and its bondage? That's why the person has been given. The gift of prophecy is given for edification, for exhortation, and comfort. But there's another question I think we have to ask. Through the gift of prophecy, the church receives specific messages for specific times, and that helps strengthen them in their faith, encourage them in their walk, and comforts them in their distress. But there's another question. What regulates this gift from misuse? That's an important question. Many today despise the gift of prophecy, claiming that it's been misused by many. And you know what? I don't disagree. First of all, though, let me just say this to you, that every gift that is given has the potential for being misused for the profit of man instead of the glory of God. Someone with a gift of teaching can misuse their gift of teaching to lead people astray. Matter of fact, 2 Peter would be written to exhort us to be careful of false teachers. Any of those gifts can be misused. Second, though, there are two basic tests for this gift of prophecy that need to be kept in mind. And I told you in our definition that these things would be important. The first test is the test of truth. The prophet in the scripture is never permitted to go outside the bounds of the truth. In the Old Testament, a prophet was responsible to only speak those things which were given unto him. Jeremiah didn't have the right to put his own spin on God's truth. He was responsible to proclaim the truth of God, as difficult as that truth might have been to proclaim. Isaiah was bound to share the truth given unto him, just like all the other prophets. They had no right to go outside of the bounds of truth. If they did, they were to be judged as a false prophet. And there were some of those in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the prophet is still bound in the very same way. Look at verse 37 of this chapter with me. Paul is going to write and say these words. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The words of the apostles were foundational to the church. They were given to us by God. They have been recorded for us. And Paul said, anyone who claims to be a prophet and refuses to acknowledge my words as the commands of God is a false prophet. Anyone who claims to come and say, I have a word from the Lord, and that word does not come from the word of God, or that word denies the word of God, they are a false prophet. For true prophecy must be in the bounds of truth. A true prophet has a passion for the truth. He desires to share that truth and to help others with that truth that they might be set free. But the first test of prophecy is the test of truth. There's another test. It's the test of faith. In Romans 12 and verse 6, Paul says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. A prophet's message is closely linked to his faith in the revealed truth. A prophet boldly proclaims the truth because he believes it's true. He believes that what God says, he means. Therefore, a prophet will boldly say what is right and what is wrong and will cite the scripture as his authority. Because he has faith in the word of God. He takes the Bible at its word, he believes it, and therefore will proclaim it. And what the word of God says, he believes he means, and that's the message he proclaims. By faith, he is willing to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. His faith in the word of God is seen and known. So he gives the truth by faith. Let me just quickly give these to you on the downside of the gift of prophecy and we'll be done. As we mentioned earlier, there are some who despise or struggle with the gift of prophecy. Even in Paul's day, it was not the most sought out of gifts. In fact, he would have to write in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. It's interesting to note that Paul indicates the importance of the gift. In fact, he says that by despising the gift of prophecy, we are actually quenching the Spirit, or we are affecting his influence that he intends to bring. We should never be upset when an evangelist or a pastor or a preacher stands up and boldly proclaims, thus saith the Lord. We shouldn't be offended by that. We shouldn't despise that. To despise it is to quench the Spirit of God, who desires to influence and to work. But he would have to challenge us that way. Why do we struggle with the gift? I'm going to give you four things that I think really are a reason why we sometimes struggle with this gift. Number one, clarity and boldness of the message are sometimes misrepresented as lacking compassion and as an individual being insensitive. One author said it this way, the prophet is interested in the origin and the destination, not with the trip. He sees the problem, he knows the solution, and he wants to help others get from where they are to where God wants them to be. Here's what that means. Because he is so convinced of what the Word of God says to be true, and because he desires to proclaim that message, he is going to proclaim it as it is. But sometimes that straightforward clarity and authoritative presentation comes across to some who listen as, he's not very compassionate. He's not all that sensitive. But understand what his desire is. He sees the problems, he knows the solution, and he wants to help. And he's trying to get people there. He's not worried about the scenery and what all he's looking at. He's worried about the trip actually getting to its destination. Number two, the message of the prophet often brings conviction, cutting to the core of man's conscience. Like Peter before the Sanhedrin, the prophet is not afraid to use the sword of the Lord to cut away at sin. Peter was one who stood before the Sanhedrin and said, "You crucified Christ." That's kind of bold. That's pretty straightforward. That's going to bother some people to make that kind of a statement. But Peter was a prophet. And Peter was willing to say, "Thus saith the Lord, you have crucified the Christ." And that's the message of the gospel. And a prophet is willing to cut to the very core of a man's conscience, and often it brings conviction. You know what the problem with that is? We don't like to be convicted. We don't like a bubble to be burst. Number three, the message of the prophet often reveals the hidden things of the heart and exposes man's hypocrisy. A prophet is usually a good judge of character and is able to perceive the insincerity of others. A prophet typically sees someone who's being fake. And most people know they can't pull the wool over that guy's eyes. We know some people don't like that. They don't like their hypocrisy exposed. They don't like people seeing that part of them. So we despise what God has given. Number four, the message of the prophet may be construed to be too simple for the complex issues that we face. However, the prophet's solutions are based upon the Word of God, and his faith in the Word of God compels him to urge others with the truth that nothing is impossible with God, and we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we face complex issues in our day. You know what the prophet does? The prophet comes to the Scripture and says, "This is the solution, and it's real simple." And people go, "It can't be that simple." So at times we despise it because it's simple. What is people's problem with the gospel? It's too simple. That can't solve all of my problems. But the Bible says it does. See, for the prophet, he comes to the Scripture and he says, "There's the answer to man's problems. If we just obey the commands of God, this will work and blessing will come." People say it's too easy. That can't be. He's making things too simplistic. Life is more complicated. They're just out of touch. No, the reality is this. He believes the message of the Bible. What God says, he believes it is true. He proclaims it, and he wants you to live it. Why? Because he knows there's blessing. Folks, God has given to the church universal and the church local those with a gift of prophecy so that we can be edified, that we can be exhorted, that we can be comforted. And he's also going to give to us, as we're going to discuss, ministers and teachers and givers and administrators, and they all work hand in hand that the body of Christ might be built up, might be edified, and might go forth and fulfill our commission. But let's not despise any of those gifts. Let's not have that gift in the church. God has given the gift. The Holy Spirit, according to His will and His way, has determined what is best. He has gifted individuals for such gifts that the church will be built up. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "Listen, you desire spiritual gifts, but desire the right ones. Don't despise prophecy." Many in our day despise prophecy. Many did in Paul's day. But the gift of prophecy was given, not for glory to self, but for the glory of God, that the church be built up to the praise and honor and glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray, then we'll be dismissed. Father, again, we do thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, I realize that we've run through some things rather quickly tonight. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to take these things and consider them and dwell upon them, that we would understand the gifts that you have given unto us. Lord, that as we understand the gifts, we would not despise anyone, but that we would encourage one another to use the gifts for the honor and glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. that we might be effective as a mighty army going forth fulfilling the commission that we have been given to share the good news of the gospel that souls will be saved and changed forever, given an eternal destiny in heaven. We thank you, Lord, and praise you again for these gifts that you have given. Help us, Lord, to give us understanding of each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.